I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. Today we have a really fantastic guest who's going to talk to us about an extremely, extremely important topic. That topic is sponsored ads, otherwise known as Amazon pay-per-click. And that man is Brian Johnson of PPC Scope and Sponsored Products Academy. So, Brian, your input is sorely needed. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Brian, just the usual quick but very important question is just tell us about yourself and what's your background? How did you come to be mastering Amazon pay-per-click for everybody?
Okay. So I've been in e-commerce and internet for several years, actually. So I actually started with about seven years selling banking equipment, like money counters, coin sorters, that type of thing, on eBay. And so I did pretty well with that. And it was just a few years ago, it was actually 3 years ago, that a buddy of mine had pulled me into the Amazon side of things when Amazing Selling Machine had launched. And so we had gotten started doing private labeling on Amazon. And, you know, just started working with my own product, launching my own products, as well as I had a couple of other friends that said, oh, you're selling on Amazon. My friend over here is also selling on Amazon, but they're a big, they're a big brand. They're not really selling on Amazon well yet. Can you help them? So I shifted over and started helping them because they had, like, one client alone had over 800 SKUs. So it was one of those things where it's like, okay, I need to set aside some of my attention on over here on the private label and focus in on the consulting. And I got more and more into the consulting, really helping them out. And it kept coming back where what I needed the most was to improve on their visibility, their advertising, the Amazon pay-per-click. So I kept on coming back to that and realized that, wait a minute, there's not enough information on this. And it's something where I needed to learn. And so finally, I just completely, committed myself to learning because nobody else was going to teach me. And, two and a half years later, I think I've got a pretty good grasp on it.
Excellent. So that's very, very interesting. I like the fact that you've come to something because, like a lot of good entrepreneurs, really, you're scratching your own itch, to put it in a slightly odd phrase, perhaps, that you found that nobody else could teach you it, so you decide you better learn it anyway. Yeah. That's a very good reason to start a business, right? So obviously, you've got a lot of experience now in Amazon pay-per-click specifically. So what would you say? Let's get into some really basic issues here. The first thing we're going to talk about is incentivized reviews, because that's a particularly hot topic. It's a particularly sore topic for Amazon sellers. And I believe you've got something very specific to share about that. So my first question is, why do you think Amazon did this? Why did they do it to us? Why?
Well, yeah, I mean, it obviously the incentivized review update, and that's just for those who are not familiar with it, is back in early October of 2016, Amazon rolled out a new policy that says, okay, look, all those free giveaways and promotions you've been doing, no more of that in exchange for reviews on Amazon. You can still give product away. You just can't ask for a review on it. Well, that took away the biggest ability for new sellers to launch products, get those initial reviews out there, and get their product actually, ranking well on Amazon. And initially, of course, I mean, they put out full press releases and everything says, we're doing this to improve the customer experience and, the quality of our site and our perception, our reputation. And we said, okay, sellers, that makes it, and it sucks, as a seller, how do I promote my product now? And one of the biggest things, because I've got a couple of sizable groups on Facebook, as well as my own clientele, as well as my own students. And the most common question that kept on coming in is like, well, what do we do now? What do we do now? It's like, where are we going to get our reviews? Where do we go now? And for me, of course, my advice was, switch over here and do, make sure that you're focusing on these things with pay-per-click. But that started to become the common thread across many Facebook groups focused on Amazon is, well, you don't have anything else to do. You've got to do, pay-per-click, because what else are you going to do? What we found is, jumping forward 2-3 months, I started getting feedback not only from my own clients and my own students, and we started seeing, it's like, man, it's like, you know, it seems like it's really the average cost per click has really increased more than it has in previous years. You know, it's like, okay, we're starting to go into the holiday season, but why is the average cost, but why is the advertising spend increasing so dramatically right now? And we started looking at the data and said, okay, well, this is not just an isolated incident, because I started looking at mine and I saw this massive spike on some of my private label products. And so then I started looking around and looking at client accounts, looking at student accounts, just working with a lot of other people and just going through just hundreds of accounts. We're like going, okay, is there an actual pattern here? Is this just kind of a blip and I'm just, you know, making it a bigger deal? And I saw a lot more where there was a significant jump in the average ad spend that was unseasonable. So most of, you know, I had dismissed it previously and said, well, that was just because, you know, it was going into the Christmas season and, you know, everybody's spending a lot more, but it continued to hold even after the holidays. So what I went back and I looked at the timing of it, and it was roughly about a week. It started about a week after this terms of service update was announced. I'm like, okay, you know, maybe people responded and everything and looked at it. And just started, you know, going over to pay-per-click. But then I went back and I looked at the policy again and I realized, you know what that policy is doing is that it's actually telling people, it's like, you're not allowed to do product giveaways for reviews, but you can use our own internal Amazon Vine program, which is their paid review system. So I'm like, wait a minute here. Okay, so they're not just simply just saying, oh, you know, we're saving face with the public and our customers by saying, you know, you can't do the reviews. We actually want you to use this paid program too. The paid program starts at $2,500 per product. Yeah. So it's kind of like, it's like, wait a minute. Okay, so once again, Amazon is saying, hey, you know, use our services, use our services. You also probably saw a lot more marketing messages coming out of sponsored products saying, hey, going into the holiday season, you really need to double your budget. They actually use terms like that, like double your budget, you know, increase your, you know, your bid, you know, make sure you have plenty of money in there to spend. It all combined into what led to, it's like, you know, this is a big profit center for Amazon. And what we saw originally was month over month, including seasonal changes over the past 4 years, because we've been changing it, tracking it for the last 2 years, but Amazon has also provided some average cost per click data for the last 4 years. And what was like, say, a 1-2% month over month average increase in advertising costs jumped to 5%, even 10% in a number of cases. That's, you know, you can say it's like, oh, there's more competition, you know, it jumps to, you know, 3%, 4%, but 5, 10%, that's a massive jump when you're talking about tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue to Amazon.
So let me make sure that I'm understanding this, because I don't want to interrupt you because you're giving so much incredible information, but let me get my head around this. So the incentivized reviews thing that we were sold was a change because there was too much fraud and there was too much fake reviews, which undoubtedly was true. But you think that wasn't the primary driver for Amazon changing it?
No, well, see, I mean, the way I look at it is, you know, certainly they probably did save some face with the public. You know, it was a PR move, right? Public relations. But definitely one of the things that were kind of the tells of what they did was, A, they stopped all the reviews, you know, the incentivized reviews. Two is they pushed people to their paid program. And three, there's no other options really for people to promote their products within the Amazon system other than using PPC. And they knew that. And I went back and I actually took a look at this and I looked at their quarterly earnings for Amazon. And I didn't realize until I started going through this that over $1 billion, I think it's like $1.3 billion for Amazon annually is just in their Amazon, in their PPC program. So if you increase that by 5%, 10%, that's a nice job. If I was an investor in Amazon, I'd be like, oh, sweet, you know, keep doing that.
That's very interesting. So, that reminds me really of when Facebook floated on the stock market and everybody I knew who was smart about this said, look, just look for the advertising going nuts on this platform because they have hungry investors now who have to get their money back. And sure enough, that was a very good prediction. So yeah, we got to remember that this is a public company with hungry shareholders. So, okay. So, look, this is a bit of a revelation. I mean, you've got the data to see this for real. I mean, the rest of us could speculate. Right. You can really see this across presumably hundreds of accounts. But so, tell us that. Then the other question becomes: okay, so this is the reason why. So, Amazon's consciously pushing up pay per click costs. So, what do we do? What does the ordinary little guy like me do? Faced with such a change, should we just abandon pay-per-click? What's your response?
Well, you know, I actually had somebody who says, like, well, so do I just go out and turn off my advertising? I'm like, no. What you need to do is understand that there's a lot of people who are coming on, a lot of other competitors, other sellers who are flooding over to pay-per-click. That's one of the reasons why the cost is driving up so high. And you can either strategically work around what other people are doing and really focus in on what matters for your, what really matters as far as key metrics for your account. You don't want to get in front of those massive people who are coming into Amazon pay-per-click and just flooding the market and doing the same thing that you've been doing for the last, you know, year or two. You got to change your tactics. You got to use something that actually works in 2017 rather than what was commonly taught in 2015, 2016.
Okay, so what you're saying is, yeah, the first and foremost is we can't just carry on as we were before. Is that right?
Yes, exactly, Grant.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about that. Let's start with the don't do's, right? What things would you say that have been commonly taught up to now that in the new situation are at least ineffective? Or let's start with which is the worst mistake you see people doing in terms of continuing with what they used to do and which doesn't work now?
Well, I think part of it has to do with the advice they follow. I still see a lot of people, and you know, it makes sense, is they'll contact seller support, Amazon seller support, and they'll talk to a rep and said, well, the rep told me to do this. They told me to run one campaign and to increase my bid. And the challenge on that is probably a little bit infuriates me actually because of the training that goes on within Amazon. I say it's like, you know, some of the advice that they're giving to people is misleading them. It's just bad advice. And the reps just don't know any better. They don't understand how the platform works. They're certainly not trained on how the platform actually works. They're just told, tell people to focus in on one campaign and to increase their bid. And 99% of the time that advice work for everybody that contacts you. We can clear these tickets. We can get people, you know, off of, you know, the seller support emails. We can get through the queues. Right. And that advice works just fine. Well, it works fine for the investors. So it doesn't work well for the sellers, especially the sellers as individuals who can't afford to lose a ton of money by simply, you know, dumping a lot of money into their advertising spend to be in this number one position that seller support is telling them to do. So,
okay. So there's two really clear guidelines. Number one, don't listen to seller support, which is
advice,
sadly, so many, but particularly on pay-per-click. And thank you for clarifying that because it would seem like the obvious authority, but it clearly isn't. And the second thing is don't increase your bids on one campaign. So that's the clear don't do's. What would you say are the doo-doos, if you can say that? What is it we must do in 2017 in this whole new world post-incentivized reviews?
Okay. So there's a number of things. It obviously, there's a lot more complexity to this, but I'm just going to go through the very high points on this. So the complexity comes into, and I'll just explain as far as why there's complexity in it, is there's different situations for each product. Each product SKU has its own level of competition, has its own conversion rate, has its own click-through rate. How well it attracts an audience, whether or not an audience chooses their product, is going to affect how it performs on the advertising as well. It's pretty easy if you have a high converting product that, you know, has a very high conversion rate for your product, that usually is going to be pretty easy for you to dial in a, you know, you can get away with just turning on automatic campaign on Amazon as far as your sponsored products goes, and it'll probably work for you. But the problem is that Amazon is looking at both not only the products that we're selling, but they're also paying a lot more attention to the buyer and the buyer patterns, you know, as far as their browsing and their buying patterns. And so a lot of times what they'll do is they'll try to show our advertising in different categories and different products or different audiences that are related to our product. And a lot of those times, those are running very inefficiently. Now, the past advice as far as simply just, you know, if as long as you just go out and do this thing called negative exact matching or negative matching of keywords, then you can block the search terms that show your ad, and then you'll be profitable. Somehow that was, you know, that was the advice that technically it used to work in 2015, early 2016. That advice actually worked pretty well. Second half of 2016, that started falling apart. 2017, that's just, you're going to get crushed if that's all you're doing. So it requires a lot more, you know, more calculated adjustments and optimization. First of all, you absolutely want to set up a proper campaign structure. That's the most important thing, because a proper campaign structure is going to give you your product the individual exposure to an audience, so that when Amazon gives you the reporting data on the Amazon, on the PPC, you're able to read, okay, who's my audience for each product, not just a group of products. So if you have product variations, right?
Okay, so let's just break this down, because I know that this is a very technical area and people can start to get lost quite quickly. So
tell me,
it's not so much glaze over, it's like people really got to get this stuff, because they know it makes such a difference to profitability and profit and loss. It's the number one thing that people waste money on, in my experience, it certainly has been for me. But right. So tell me, what is the like raw basics? You were mentioning two things that very much interested me. You said campaign structure and the word audience. Tell me about audience. I mean, traditionally on Amazon, we get very lazy about thinking about who's buying our products, and Amazon does an amazing job of collecting an audience of shoppers, and yes, we focus on products. Is that a fundamental mentality shift that we need to make now then?
I think so, absolutely, because one of the common things that's taught is during product research is we simply take a look at we look at what our competitors are doing. We're using product research tools and such that tell us, it's like, oh, you know, we've got these products here. They're selling really well on page one. They're selling $100,000 a month on page one. And here's the keywords in their title. And people focus in and say, oh, well, it must be that they're making $100,000 a month because this keyword's in their title. The problem with that is most products usually are positioned not just for one product, but for dozens of products, you know, 40, 50, 60 different keywords, sorry, not I said products, but their product is positioned or selling on dozens, if not, you know, the 40, 50, 60 keywords, not just one, like we learned from our product research. So part of the challenge on this is to make sure that we understand who our audience is and the search terminology they're actually using to find our product and to purchase our product. What we're trying to do, it's kind of the overall concept, is that we're trying to shift from a mentality of we researched a product and we thought we knew which keywords converted the best for a product and what converted best for competitor products. And then we turn on Amazon pay-per-click and we realize that where Amazon wants to show our ad and the search terms that bring in the audience into our product listing, and of course, you know, how well our product listing converts that to a sale, we learn a lot more about who the shopper actually is. And a lot of times what we realize is we've been targeting this one keyword phrase this whole time, and we work so hard with, you know, external promotions and giveaways and all that kind of stuff in order to try to get our product up to page one for a target keyword, only to find out from advertising that that's not a converting keyword for our product. You know, and so people, you know, and we see that so many times, is that they say, it's like, well, how do I increase my advertising on this keyword? I'm like, well, why are you targeting that keyword? Well, because I'm on page one, but it's never converted on PPC. So how do you know it's a converting keyword? Well, because everybody else converts on it. Like, how do you know that? Well, they're on page one. It's like, okay, how many other keywords are they on page one for? So the idea is, no product is only going to rank for one keyword and have all their sales. There's no way that a competitor product is doing $50,000 a month on one keyword. Just doesn't happen. There's a whole portfolio of keywords that they're showing up for. And the only way that Amazon is going to give us to actually read that, to understand what the audience is looking for and which actually converts for our product, is using Amazon's PPC platform. It's an absolute market research tool that we have to use, because Amazon doesn't give us any other options, you know, as far as being able to read, you know, what actually is bringing in the audience and what converts.
Okay, so I'm just trying to unpick this here for the non-technically minded here. So the first question is why we're using PPC then, just to clarify that. So you're saying the most important thing is a product research tool more than even driving sales. Would you say that's true?
Well, you can't. Well, it's a precursor. So you would, in order to, if you understand your audience, then you can focus in on that audience. You can set up your product listing to target an audience that you actually know converts to your product. You're not just guessing anymore. So okay, it's an absolute prerequisite before you really can dial in your sales. Otherwise, you're just guessing.
Okay, that makes total sense. Now, let's pick up on something else you mentioned, which is the word campaign structure. Now, I've just been recently trying to read up about Google AdWords, and Perry Marshall's very, very good book on that. And he's also very big in the Google AdWords space, another form of pay-per-click, obviously very established. Which I don't claim to be any kind of guru on, by the way, just in case, don't phone me up and ask for advice on that. But he talks about campaign structure. Now, what does that mean, again, from the most basic level, and why is that important?
Sure. So there are some similarities, of course. AdWords is a much, much bigger advertising platform than sponsored products is. As big as Amazon is, its advertising platform is still very small in comparison to something like AdWords. AdWords also has more fine grain control, as far as some of the things that you can do as far as processing a keyword through different match types. They've got multiple match types versus just the four that we work with on Amazon. And a common misconception that people who have advertised on AdWords is they come over and they say, well, the goal on sponsored products then is like what I did on AdWords, where I start out with broad and then I move everything over to phrase and then I move everything that converts over to exact and then just stays in exact. That same tactic does not work on sponsored products as well, because the problem is that Amazon is still using their buyer information, buyer behavior information that AdWords doesn't have. AdWords has a certain amount when they can tie into Google Shopping, for instance, but they don't necessarily have, or if they're using tying into analytics with shopping cart and everything, but it's not an enclosed system that like Amazon has, where they know everything about that shopper and their demographics, their buying behaviors, their history, who they bought gifts for, all that. And in that kind of enclosed system, it really allows them to show, in as far as advertising goes, it allows them to show ads in different contexts or different situations based off of the shop or the buyer behavior, how ready they are if they're simply just browsing for products versus if they're looking for something very specific. We would think that if we're using what they call long tail or more descriptive keyword phrase, that we could simply just use a bunch of those, put them into exact, and be done with it. Logically, that makes sense, especially with an AdWords background. On Amazon, however, we do find is that if you're not testing all match types, you're going to miss out on a bunch of sales and a bunch of conversions because a keyword, whether it's a short single word or it is, you know, six words long, it's going to perform differently in each match type, and that might not be exact match. You may end up with a collection of, here's some that convert really well for the exact match type, but then here's other sets that don't perform well in exact match that do perform well in broad.
Wow.
And
okay.
So if you use
kind of, which is where this gets quite technical, but I mean, just to break that down from like the sort of non-technical, rather, you know, non-techie kind of person, my experience is that, like you, I understood the logic, and also I understood that from AdWords, which is like long established, that in theory an exact match should give you great conversions and great sales. My experience is that's often not the case either. I mean, and that has always amazed me, and I thought maybe I'd done something wrong, but actually from what you're saying, that sometimes happens. So in other words, what you're saying, if I understand, is that sponsored product ads on Amazon don't behave in a strictly logical way. Would that be a fair thing to say?
No, yeah, I think that there's, part of it is they have their own algorithm. Now, some of the way that they built sponsored products is based off of how AdWords is set up, and I do know from some of my internal contacts within Amazon is that they've actually, you know, hired out of Google AdWords team for their own sponsored products team. And so that's where they're getting some of their, you know, their think tank information as far as design goes. But they've got a long way to go. There's a lot of things that AdWords has as far as features that Amazon simply doesn't have, but they'll get there in the next few years. But as far as, you know, a big strategy that I teach is to make sure that you're testing all match types so you can actually identify, you know, which search term, which match types and which keywords are actually going to perform the best for your particular product. And again, it comes back to your particular product, because advertising that may work for another product may not work the same for yours. But that also can give you an advantage on the other side.
Okay, that makes sense. So in other words, I guess it's like a lot of things in, you know, scientific advertising as it goes back even to the 1920s, where Claude, whatever his name was, Claude Hopkins, the scientific advertising guy, which is, in other words, don't assume, you just have to test, even if the test turns out to be absolutely contrary to all your sense of logic, which makes a lot of sense.
Now, and that's a great point, because there's a good way and there's a bad way to test.
Okay, tell us the bad way and tell us the good way so we can avoid the bad way. Sometimes just like knowing the stupid things is just as important, because sometimes we, you know, you listen to a podcast, you think, oh shoot, that's how I'm doing it. So tell us the bad way first. What do we need to avoid doing?
Well, a common practice that I see is where sellers will do one of a couple of things. One is they'll either split up their campaigns into different match types. So they have like their exact match as a campaign, phrase match as a campaign. They separate those out into campaigns. I'm not sure exactly who's teaching that, but it does seem like I come across it quite a bit. It reduces some of the efficiency when it comes to when you're trying to play into Amazon's PPC algorithm. So there's a different algorithm, different calculation that works for organic positioning as it than it does for sponsored positioning. And most, I mean, I say like absolutely, definitely most people don't understand how the sponsored algorithm works. A lot of times they're focused in on what they hear as far as how to organically position their products. You know, it's all about conversion, relative conversion rates, and, you know, units moved and everything. But then they try to apply that same logic over to sponsored, and they get confused and they set up things like structure incorrectly. So
let me just intervene there and underline that, because I know a lot of people will be, you know, this is a technical area.
I keep on pulling these things.
What you just said is so important. I didn't know this, and I've been knocking around the Amazon block for whatever 2.5 years and hanging out in masterminds every month that I'm a member of. That you're what you're saying is the algorithm for Google. I'm losing the platform here. The algorithm for the Amazon organic searches is different from the pay-per-click searches. Is that right?
Correct. Yep. Okay, those are actually two different teams also.
Really, really important bit of information. So I just wanted to underline that, because sometimes you're giving so much value that people could be missing some really basic stuff. And I'm all about basics, because I don't claim to be very clever with this stuff. So tell me what, in simple terms then, tell us what is the difference between those two and how does that reflect in how we need to structure our campaigns?
Okay. Well, I'd say in the most simplest form is that organic is going to rely most heavily, not exclusively, but most heavily on relative conversion rate. As far as like how many units is your product selling on a daily basis compared to your competitors in the same product niche. That's one of the biggest drivers for organic, the organic search positioning. When it comes to sponsored is more about how well does the advertising campaign perform, not necessarily very, very minor. In other words, the primary driver has to do with the performance level of the campaign and its ability to bring shoppers in from a search into a product listing.
Okay, that's really profoundly different. This is amazing. This is the pay dirt we're digging for here, because like you're the guy who really knows, and this, I've never heard that. So in other words, if I kind of bring an analogy, then the sponsored ads campaigns are measured. Their success is measured internally by Amazon by whether it works bringing people to your listing, whereas the organic search is all about, has it actually made a sale and therefore made you money? Incidentally, correct, from Amazon's point of view, has it made Amazon money because they've got their sales commission 15%, whatever, 25% in jewelry or whatever, plus their pick and pack fees, etc.?
Yeah, it's very counterintuitive because you would think it's like an e-commerce platform would be more focused on the, you know, what which products convert, whether it's organic or advertising. Yet Amazon's advertising algorithm rewards us for having high performing campaigns that have that do very well at drawing an audience in, basically acquiring the click. Well, of course, as an advertiser, that costs us money. So the better we are at spending money on advertising, the more Amazon rewards us through higher ad position.
Okay, this is really, again, this ties in very neatly with what you were saying at the beginning, but I just want to underline this for the, like myself, technically challenged people. It's like, you know, what you're saying is, it's kind of obvious, but it's like, nevertheless, the road to Damascus experience for me right now, that the Amazon ads campaigns will simply reward you for being good at getting clicks, which is because it makes Amazon money. And it really doesn't have very much to do with whether it's actually making efficient sales or even presumably not necessarily that much to do with whether it's pleasing the customer actually. Or am I missing something?
Part of the shopper experience is to make sure that Amazon wants to make sure that it's presenting both organic listings and ads that seem most useful to a shopper. The worst thing that Amazon can have is for a shopper to get confused or to get lost or not seem to find what they want quickly enough, and therefore they move on to some other platform, especially with new competitors coming in online. So the faster that they can help a shopper find a product and make a decision, they know that the close rate is going to be a lot higher. And so the better that we are as advertisers of our own product of attracting a shopper through our ads, through our ad positioning, and through our product offering, then the more likely that a shopper is going to convert. It's not a guarantee, and it's not a focus of the algorithm for sponsored, but it's about getting the shopper to take action, to get into a product detail page. Same thing as the reason that they're showing the product, the organic product listings, you know, in the order that they're showing on the search results, is because of they're trying to get a shopper to find what they want quickly because it's relevant to what they're looking for, and to get into the product listing quicker because that means it's a much higher chance of them converting to a sale.
Again, just to come back to the Google analogy, because that's a platform, even if most of us, have, including myself, have only dabbled in AdWords or maybe use them a bit or know of it. But that sounds exactly like Google's all about relevance because it's a search engine, right? Of course. So they reward advertisers for relevance. My understanding is that you can bid higher, but you're not necessarily going to rank high on the Google results if relevance isn't good and the quality score is all about relevance. So it sounds like, in a way that I had no idea at all, that Amazon ads works in quite a similar way, so that in some ways it's about the customer experience, but it's more about the customer as a searcher than it is about the customer as a buyer. Is that a reasonable distinction?
Well, when it comes to sponsored, absolutely. It's still, again, it is very heavily focused on relevance. And there's a lot of other key factors that go into making sure that a product listing actually qualifies to show an ad. There's a lot of things that can block an ad from being shown in the first place. And most of it has to do with being qualified to show an ad as well as being relevant to what the shopper is looking for. And there's a number of factors that I teach my students in order to how to dial those in. How to identify when you've got the sweet spot as far as relevance with your product and ensure that your product is showing up, your ad is showing up well, is showing up consistently. And ideally, especially, it's showing up a lot for the ones that you already know convert to a sale, because then that benefits us as a seller.
Okay, so really, we got to separate the problems out then from what you're saying between the question of getting our ads shown by Amazon and getting our product exposure, and then is that actually helpful to us? Because I guess like Google AdWords, if you give them a lot of clicks and it gives happy customers because it's relevant, they could care less whether once the customer's found the information, they actually buy your widget on your site. Right. And it sounds pretty similar to Amazon ads. So the word relevance has come up. Now, obviously, that kind of sounds important in life generally, but what I'm getting is therefore that the message to market match thing. So in other words, if somebody is, if I've got, I don't know, let's say I've got some lighter which never runs out of fuel. Like, by the way, this, if anyone's watching for the Federal Trade Commission, whatever, this is not, I'm not claiming this, it's an example, okay? And it never runs out of fuel, and somebody puts in endless lighter into the search, and my ad shows that, and they click through to it, and it's the sort of thing they were expecting to see when they put the search term in. Presumably Amazon's going to reward me for that more than if I'm just selling some lighter, which will run out, just like this is actually, I confess, an ordinary lighter you get for 30p down the market, or 50 cents if you're in the States. So presumably Amazon will kind of penalize me in some way if there isn't a good match between, like, I'm looking for this magic light that never runs out and actually it's just a normal lighter. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. I mean, well, so it mostly has to do with the engagement. Now, I'm not going to say that Amazon excludes the conversion factor as far as a deciding factor, but when it comes to advertising, the way that the algorithm works is that if there is an influence by conversion of the product, it's kind of a last thought. It's only like a deal, you know, it's only not a deal, but a tiebreaker. That's what I want to look for. So if everything was equal as far as the performance of the campaign, the history of the product to get a, you know, to draw an advertising click, how established the seller is and their performance and everything, if all of those things are equal, which they never are, then they might bring in the factor of, okay, we don't have enough information here. What's the conversion rate then for a relative conversion rate for this product? They might pull that in, but it is a separate algorithm. And so they don't need to maintain it. You know, it's not even the same team that actually develops and maintains that algorithm. So while that might come in, I think it's more speculative to say that they actually, that the sponsored algorithm even includes the relative conversion rate. It's more of a, hypothetical observation, I suppose. I wouldn't say there's that particular piece of it. I would say is probably speculative. Everything else we may have been able to observe and test across thousands of accounts. So great. We've got a pretty good grasp on that.
So a couple of questions coming back to the things you brought up. One is, you were saying there are some blocks to Amazon showing your ads if you don't have certain factors in place. Could you, I mean, without blowing our brains, can you give us like the top two or three main factors that we need to have in place in order to not have Amazon block our ads, or to put it another way, in order to get our ads shown?
Right. Well, probably the biggest one and this is kind of where, you know, obviously I want to come back to as far as campaign structure, because it's the campaign structure that really is going to set us up for success on all of these factors. But when it comes to the sponsored algorithm, there's actually two parts to it. The first part is this filtering mechanism that says, Amazon's going to say, I'm going to show your ad or I'm not going to show your ad. Or I'm going to consider your ad for showing rather than not considering it. When you get into we get filtered out as being, we're not even going to consider your ad for showing. It's primarily because of two things. First one has to do with either the product is not qualified, doesn't have the buy box, for instance, or it doesn't, it for some reason, it's not allowed to run ads, or it's not allowed to run ads on a specific keyword, because Amazon does also block ads from showing for certain keywords too, across all listings. So that's kind of that's a pass fail. The second pass fail on that is relevance. Is the product in a subcategory that is also considered most relevant to the search term the shopper is using and also matches up with a keyword that the seller is advertising for? So you got four different factors that you're trying to bring together and line up in order for Amazon to say, okay, You're relevant enough to make it past the disqualification filter.
So those filters are that. So I'm just making some notes so I can get my brain working on this stuff. So it's got to be a relevant subcategory. The keyword's got to match up. It needs to have the buy box, and it needs to be not banned keywords. So presumably, you know, things like gated products or you know, a brand protected like Nike or something. You can't
right, exactly.
So, okay, brilliant. Yeah. Well, that's nice and clear. What I think we should do, because this is fantastic stuff. I was hoping for this. I was kind of promised this, you know, when I got you on it. And sure enough, some revelatory stuff, some absolutely revelatory stuff. No kidding.
I'm when still scratching the surface.
I know. I can imagine, like, somebody with you. That's why I'm trying to ask the stupid questions, because you're so bright. Like, okay, this guy could you know, go into detail for 10 days, and I guess that's exactly what you would do, right? If I hired you. Right. But The thing is, I think we should postpone to the next episode the sort of campaign structure, so you can walk us through how to structure things in a way. So we'll have that in the second episode. So if you're listening or watching, stay tuned. We'll be publishing it tomorrow. We're going to get this stuff out there quickly, because this is an area where people are screaming for help. So many people are struggling with PPC. So Brian, just for the moment, where else can people go to get to begin to get you know, some of this stuff that you're sharing, and to begin to get a flavor of you and how you share this stuff?
Okay. Well, certainly my flagship is the is my training course. Very in-depth. It's our first version was a 4-week training course. That's sponsored Products Academy. By far, that's the paid course. Very in-depth. Very, you know, includes everybody from beginner, intermediate, and advanced level. Goes in, it is like the last course that we published, it was 4 weeks long. We're like 5 weeks right now as far as the course. I mean, it's that in depth. There's that much more information and detail that somebody who really wants to get their head around and really just want to dominate their competition when it comes to advertising, that's absolutely, you know, the place to start. And one of the things, of course, that we're promoting right now is we actually started out with a free four-part training series that's available out at sponsorproductsacademy.com. And so that's available. I think it's available today, actually.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. I think I got from one of your guys, got in touch about that. So we'll put that in the show notes. As ever, guys, if you want to go to the show notes, what we're going to do is put a special link at the blog, because we need to focus on this. We're going to get amazingfba.com/Brian J. for Johnson. And we will put a ton of resources there, including links out to Brian's sponsored Products Academy. Is that right?
So it's Sponsored Products. So it's plural. So Sponsored Products Academy. .com.
Fantastic. Well, we'll put links in there anyway. So That's great. Let's wrap this segment up and let people go and lie in a dark room with a wet towel over their head for a second. And we'll come back in for round two in a second.
Sounds great.
Tomorrow's round two and the structure of how to start when the rubber hits the road.
Cool. Sounds great.
Hi, this is Michael Veazey from Amazing FBA. I've got a quick one for you. If you're super stoked and awesomely excited to sell on Amazon, that's great. But if you're American, I'm afraid you need to stop listening, because this one is for the Brits only. I'm not being biased, but this is because I'm talking about something which is based in London. So you're going to need to be in Britain or near Britain to take advantage of it. The basic problem we have as internet entrepreneurs is we are lonely and isolated, because we're tapping, sadly, at our tablets on our own. We're cooped up with our computers and we're going insane with the internet. We need to connect to other people. It's only a human thing, right? And relationships are the basis of all good business. So if you are in that situation, keep listening, because we have a solution called the Amazing FBA London Mastermind. But I'm going to specifically talk to you if you're in that situation, but you are yet to launch on Amazon. So you want to launch on Amazon, you haven't got there yet. This is exactly for you. It's called the Zero to Hero Pre-Launch Mastermind. And our aim is very simple: to get you from research or importing, or even if you've got products on the way to Amazon, to launch with your first product live on Amazon. That's our goal. That's our focus. How do we achieve that? Very simple. We have a face-to-face meeting of up to 15 people, no more than that. So it's very, very focused. And you get 30 minutes minimum to talk about your business and focus on the single issue that's blocking you that month to move you forward. The other way we keep you accountable is that we have a video accountability call once a month as well, which it goes in between the physical meetups, so that we keep that momentum going, because momentum's everything, guys. As you know, on your own, you just lose the dream and you fall into slowness, and then the business just dies from neglect. So we do the opposite. We keep it moving. We keep each other motivated. We inspire, and we tell the truth about what doesn't work so other people can learn from it. We also have a couple of other things. I give an exclusive newsletter available only to members of the Mastermind, where I share the latest tips, techniques, and tricks, and bigger strategies that I'm trying on my Amazon businesses, and tell you what works and frankly what doesn't work as well, so you can learn from my mistakes. And of course, there's an exclusive Facebook group to share all this good stuff with each other in between the meetings and the accountability calls. So there's a ton on offer here. It's obviously going to be very limited because it's maximum 15 people anyway. But for the first five people who come on board, there will be a special deal and a very special price for life. But that's obviously only for the first five people who come on board. So if you want to check it out, just go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind and you can find out there more about it. You can apply there as well if you want to. And if you move fast, you might even be one of the lucky first five people to take advantage of it as well. So that's amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. I'm going to put this video out to everyone on my podcast and everyone in the Facebook group, of which we've got nearly 900 members now, and on the YouTube channel. So I imagine that this will fill quite quickly. So if you're serious about it, get yourself over to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind and you can find. Thanks for listening.